Hello and welcome to the Popcorn Junkies.
Welcome to the Popcorn Junkies.
And today we are going to be reviewing A Mother's Instinct.
Just Mother's Instinct. Oh, Mother's Instinct. Don't need to put A Mother's Instinct. It's just Mother's Instinct.
Titles right.
This is a film we saw on Friday. This is the new film starring Jessica Chastain and Anne Hathaway. It's directed by Benoît Delhomme. His first film. He was an assistant cameraman years ago. Do you remember that film Jean de Florette with Gérard Depardieu?
I do. Blimey, Petit Pois.
Do you remember the follow-up, Manon des Sources?
Loved it.
Well, so he was a cameraman. This is his first directorial debut. It's based on a book called, I think, Behind the Hate. I think that's how it translates. Shall I do it in French? Derrière la haine. The behind, derrière.
Well, I wish I'd known it was a French thing.
It's a French book. And it was a French film. Directed by Olivier Massé-Dupessé.
Okay, that will explain.
That explains this kind of milky kind of vision, you know, the sort of slightly misty kind of soft focus. Anyway, it's called Mother's Instinct. They play neighbourly women set in the 1960s, early 1960s.
Not neighbourly, neighbours.
Neighbours, yeah. But they're neighbourly as in they do parties together, they hang out, the husbands are friends, they know each other.
They're unbelievably close.
Yeah, exactly, which is one of my... Let's just park that thought there, because if a problem emerges for me in this film, it's how close they were and what then subsequently happens. It's called Mother's Instinct because it's about being a mum, and it's about a tragedy or a trauma that happens, which is revealed in the trailer to Anne Hathaway's son. And the way in which Anne Hathaway's son comes to a grisly end... is really around which this entire film pivots. It's that moment. It's a moment of parental neglect, or is it a moment of parental neglect? But basically, Jessica Chastain, and we have to give you the nuts and bolts of what kind of happens, and this is the gist of the film. Jessica Chastain witnesses Anne Hathaway's son fall. And of course, then Anne Hathaway goes into huge grief, and it's that process of us witnessing her grief through the eyes, really, of Jessica Chastain. It sits much more on Jessica Chastain's point of view. It's from her position. And then what this becomes is a sort of psychological portrait of two women dealing with grief in different ways, with Jessica Chastain beginning to believe that Anne Hathaway is much more malevolent and responsible for that death, or perhaps that death, or and then other deaths and other happenings within the film. And so as it got going, I felt like we were in such a conventional film.
Right from the beginning, it's beautiful. The colours. Mm-hmm. I loved every single shot. Like the design, the production design was fantastic. Every costume was stunning.
Yeah, the
gardens were stunning. The houses were stunning. The women were stunning. And the whole opening of the film was the friendship that every couple wants with their neighbours. It's like the dream situation. Mm. When is it set? Is it
60s? Early 60s.
Early 60s, yeah. And so...
quintessential suburban, white picket fence, beautiful lawns. I mean, beautiful gardens, my God.
Stunning. The roses.
The roses. I'll never recover from those. I knew you'd come out and go, Kat, why don't we have roses?
No, like I didn't. That? Because I sat there going, those roses, they've stuck those roses on. I'll ask Mark about that. Mm. But, so, you know, the opening, beautiful cars, pristine vintage cars. And the opening of it was actually quite clever because you did think that there was going to be a murder right at the beginning, didn't you? So you were set up like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. And it's quite a long piece, the first bit, actually, wasn't it? Because we're in the Anne Hathaway character's birthday and there's dancing and drinking and it's all very sort of almost... a bit lipstick lesbian between Anne and...
Well, I thought it was all going to turn into one of those parties where they held the keys in an ashtray and they all pop upstairs.
I thought it was all going to go a bit swapsies.
It was a bit... what was it? What was that film with Kevin Spacey? Do you remember that? Was it The Ice Storm? Or...
that must be. Do you remember my own daughter's name?
But I thought you're right. I thought the supporting cast, the actors who played the husbands, were very good because it's that classic
film.
Very
good.
They were very sort of backgrounded, but
it was the
enough.
Friendship because you had a moment where you thought, oh, God, are they all going to have sex with each other? Yeah. And then you thought, no, these people just have an intense love. Mm. There were some really good moments where, you know, where we started to see the melodrama slip in, actually, with the da-da-da, what's going on here? Why are they talking about having a baby? Why is it, like, suddenly gone all weird? Beautiful scene between Angela Chastain and Anne Hathaway and Janice. What's her name? Angela. Anne.
Jessica Chastain.
Oh, Jessica Chastain. Between the two women, that was...
it was incredibly intimate.
It was a beautiful scene. Two actresses completely handing over their vulnerability. They were so loving with each other and the kind of friendship that every woman wants. You know, that she's talking, one of them is saying to the other, no, if whatever you want to do, if you want to go back to her, I'll be here, I'll help, I'll look after your child. I'll go, intense. Mm. And it was just in a small kitchen and it was a beautiful scene. And it set up the intensity of this friendship. Mm. They were sisters. Way more than friends.
But they were sisters because of the kind of plight of women of that age. Yeah, so this is very much a portrait. So there are discussions, certainly between Jessica Chastain and her husband, where, you know, he says he wants to have a baby, why she wants to get a job. She asks the question of Anne Hathaway, is this enough? You feel that they're both, you know, you feel the fact that they're women trapped in an age. And if one of the two of them was, if you like, more comfortable with her lot, it was Anne Hathaway, who was more comfortable, yes, with her lot.
She was more the surrendered, yes, wife, just so grateful, yeah, to have had a child, loves her husband, adores, happy, you know, twinkling in and out of the school and the PTAs and all of that.
But what I also liked was, and in a weird way, Anne Hathaway's relationship with her husband was the most troubled, but it was the most troubled, obviously, after they lose, after the death of
not
their son.
Not beginning, you think, no, they're mad.
Well,
in
and
love,
it's quite nice
sexual,
that they were all quite in love. We didn't have to park in
very
it.
Very sexual sort of, with each other.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
All off to go and have a hot night of sex. There was, like, no problems,
no,
there.
And then the pivot happens, the narrative moment happens where the boy falls to his death. And we, and Jessica Chastain also has her own son, too, who is a curious character because, of course, he's friends with Anne Hathaway's son, becomes aware of, because he's told, that the other boy has died. And then it becomes one of those sort of melodramas, very much in the fashion of... I remember the film Mildred Pierce, Joan,
yes,
Crawford.
Yes, love that film.
Yeah.
I love the melodramas.
Yeah,
I
and all the Joan Crawford, Davis. Betty Davis films. And this very much is a sort of modern melodrama in that sense, because what makes a good melodrama for me are some of the attributes of what makes a good film noir. So Mildred Pierce is a good example where it was melodramatic, and melodrama is really the drama of family and emotions and all that, but then parked within Mildred Pierce and this is that film noir-y dark thing of, oh, who done it, who's responsible, is there
classic
a question
thriller.
Yeah, and is there a question mark over the intention? So,
well, at one point I thought the little boy had something to do with it. He had a very malevolent presence. I kept thinking he was going to burst into flames or do something.
I don't mean this disrespectfully, but he'd be brilliantly cast in a horror film, because
yeah,
I really
he had
not
something
trust
really brooding about him.
Yeah, he did.
What happens with it, it creeps up on you, because the beginning of the film is a bit like, in look and feel, Desperate Housewives.
Yeah,
do you remember the picket, white picket,
yeah,
fence and
yeah,
all of that? It's like that, isn't it?
A bit Stepford Wives.
Stepford Wives, a bit, but not because they're very sexed up and they're all having a great time and they're boozing and smoking. So there's naughty behaviour going on. But the melodrama really builds through the film, doesn't it? To the point where... But because when it first starts to build more into melodrama, you go with it. We went with it because we've been put in a good place at the beginning of the film. I was enjoying it. I wanted to know more about the relationships. And I thought, wow, this is going to get so complex. What's going on with these people? But it did start to move into melodrama. Good themes, because it was all about, you know, if you think even at those times, the 60s, we forget. Women could be committed. Women could be taken off by, you know, in a van by psychiatrists.
Well, just
for not behaving perfectly.
Yeah, but just to give context to what you're saying, because what is the melodrama? I'd be wondering, well, what are you talking about? What happens really is it becomes a very elaborate portrait of Jessica Chastain increasingly becoming increasingly suspicious of what Anne Hathaway's intentions were. That Anne Hathaway was potentially responsible for the child's death, also wants something awful to happen to her own son. And that she's also responsible at another point in the film for something awful happening to her mother-in-law. So a lot of tragic things happen in the flower beds of Anne Hathaway's garden.
For me, melodrama means when it all goes a little bit over the top and unbelievable. Mm. And it's kind of like very heightened story.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And we're asked to step
out. But the
out.
Cause of that, the trigger of that, is Jessica Chastain's increasing suspicion.
Yeah, so I'm still in it and I'm still like going with it. And for me, it's just a drama.
Mm.
And I love a good drama and I love good, you know, intense relationships. But, and the whole reveal of Jessica Chastain having had mental health issues, being sectioned. We don't find out that actually too much later,
much later
do we? When her husband says, I'll have you put away again. And so I was loving all of that. But like you, and at the beginning, when Anne Hathaway turns against her because she's in this grief-stricken place and both her and her husband turn away.
Yeah,
from...
they hold them at arms. So that was very powerful at the door when the husband comes out.
They go around
to sort of share their apologies, and you sort of feel it was very.
And he holds on to his friend, the man, and totally
blanks
steps
her.
Yeah, blanks Jessica Chastain. And so you see the crumbling of this friendship. Mm-hmm. And I felt quite heartbroken. What? I was wanting to scream and go, just go over there and ask him what's the matter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there were quite a few curious moments.
A bit weird?
Well, no, it went so weird for me.
So weird. Melodrama.
Well, and really the problem for me around this film was what happens to... I think they're both great in it. But I think what happens to Anne Hathaway's character... was too sudden, too extreme, and too... Because we're coming from Jessica Chastain's position, I didn't have any problem with the highs, lows, and the trying to work out what's going on in Jessica Chastain's head. At one point, I thought the reveal was going to be that Jessica Chastain in a sort of flashback of some form, because it was going in this direction. I thought there was going to be a moment where actually Jessica Chastain enticed the boy to his death, and that she was a nut job, and that she actually didn't... She wanted what Anne Hathaway wanted, and all this kind of stuff. But what kind of really frustrated me was Anne Hathaway suddenly turned into an automaton that walked around and just stared in doorways. So they parked quite early on a sort of, not malevolence, but a blank creepiness to Anne Hathaway that I didn't believe, given the intensity of that beautiful scene at the beginning. I felt we needed another beat or two of intensity somewhere else between the two of them. Because
when she comes back from the mental institution and apologises and said, I pushed you away and I needed you. I thought that was beautifully played by Anne Hathaway. Mm. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, that was nice.
I can just fall into that woman's eyes and just believe anything she says.
Yeah.
You see, I think grief is universally misunderstood, the intensity of it and the way that some people will respond to something that is so traumatic. Mm. So traumatic, your child falls off a balcony and dies. We know now that PTSD can trigger psychosis. And so I was all right with all of that.
I just didn't like the way they managed it.
I was okay with it. I, like you, think there were pages missing from the script. Hang on a minute. Let me just get something else must happen. But I was going with it. But for me, it was when... the leather gloves started to come out.
Yeah, and this happens quite late on. So, the film's really...
Three parts, the
film. Yeah, very much three
parts.
The
last third is...
I really liked... what I liked in the middle part... I loved the setting up. I thought the setting up was really convincing. And nice ensemble acting between all the husbands. And, you know, they weren't just archetypes. And they weren't just men of that time who had nothing to like about them.
They were a bit trapped in the men of the time.
Yeah, and but you could see the charm and you could see it and all that. And you felt that Anne Hathaway's husband was dealing with his grief with drink... Anne Hathaway was dealing with it by donning a pair of black gloves and going a little bit rogue. Now, there was a point in this film where it began to feel like, as I said, an awful lot of people were dying in Anne Hathaway's garden in one spot. And I began to feel that the narrative beats just became a bit eggy. Now, you made a good point as we came out. Was that what they were going for? Were they self-consciously almost pastiching and riffing on the whole kind of
that's what the last
1960s
was.
Melodrama.
Because I said to Mark, what's this film called again? And he said,
Mother's Instinct.
So I went, oh, not Mother's Instinct, a reversioning of melodrama. And he said...
that wouldn't be very catchy.
Well, no, but I was being facetious.
Yeah,
and I went, because is it a melodrama? Is that what he wanted? Mark said, right, well, I'm going to look at an interview with the director and find out. I said, but that doesn't work, does it? Because that was, if it had been sold to me as a melodrama, you know, Mildred Pierce, perfect example. I've gone, oh God, we're doing like a... But what happened, because it took me by surprise, the last third to me was almost a comedy. And when we are so lucky, when we go and watch a film together, I can feel us going
journey.
Don't look at each other, don't say anything to each other. Mm. But when you said to me, when she opened
the cabinet, and it may as well have said on one of them,
mother-in-law's
poisonous pills.
And I laughed because I thought, oh, right, yeah, we're on exactly the same trajectory here. Yeah. Or downward spiral.
Jessica Chastain goes into a basement, don't go into the basement, gets trapped in the basement.
No, it doesn't. It becomes comic.
Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway's psychosis is a problem with that. Because it's not beyond the realms of possibility that you would just be walking around in fun.
I agree.
But it was the script. It was like suddenly she's putting
And it was the direction. I mean, I don't think anyone can realistically get anyone to put black gloves on. They shouldn't have shown it. Just let her have black gloves on. Do you know what I mean?
That for me, the third part was high melodrama.
Mm.
It almost needed to go into black and white and there to be a poster up of Joan Crawford somewhere. We stepped into a different era of movies.
It wouldn't have been at all surprising if they opened one of the wardrobes and there was a sort of four-piece orchestra doing
Betty
the music.
Betty Davis.
With the music going ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding.
Yeah.
So for me, it became crass, it became embarrassing, it became unbelievable.
A bit of a giggle.
And it became wrongly funny. And Anne Hathaway became like a... But Anne Hathaway ended up being a little bit like a very pretty version of the villain in Halloween. She's sort of walking around, is she going to kill next? Now, all that said, I really like the fact that they didn't bail out at the end of the film. That they went... Because so often in films, especially in melodramas, I mean, the amount of films in the 1950s and 60s that would get to edit, the filmmaker and the actors would all be on board with this dark ending. The number of films that would then go to the studios and they would tag an ending in the end, a happy ending. So many of the films that we know never intended to end like that. This film ends in the way that it should end, darkly. And
don't forget, there's another end on the end, though.
What?
The end.
That's the end I'm talking about.
What end?
Her with the boy.
Well, that's a jolly bit.
It's not jolly. She's completely worked the system to get it.
No, but before the end,
yes,
that's the good bit.
Well, that's the good bit, but also the fact that the thing that would never have been allowed to happen in a melodrama is that she got away with it. Not only got away with it, but managed to replace her child.
Wow.
That,
but it's a happy ending for her.
Yeah, but it wasn't a happy ending for Jessica and everyone else, was it?
No.
With her black gloves. Anyway, it was comedic, it was ridiculous, it was silly, but it wasn't...
It wasn't unpleasant.
No, exactly.
It wasn't unpleasant.
It's weird. It wasn't unpleasant. But it wasn't...
It was entertaining.
That's entertainment!
Because we moved into a comedy melodrama.
But it was an odd shift. I felt we'd worked all this character development up, and then we suddenly went
If we plunged it into black and white, we would have understood.
It felt like a Mel Brooks comedy. I mean, literally, it was ridiculous. So all of that said, the other thing I did say as we came out, it was weird, the casting of Jessica Chastain and Anne Hathaway was sensational for the period, because I rarely look at these films and go, wow, I really like what they're wearing. I see it and I see it as functional for creating the time. But I'm never looking at stuff unless it's a film like Poor Things and you're like, wow. But I loved both the actors. They were like, quite literally, warm props that looked beautiful in this setting. The clothes were beautiful. Their faces were just so 1950s, 1960s.
And they were beautifully lit.
Yeah, so it's quite
easy on the eyes. I mean, the planes of Jessica's face, her bone structure. And then lovely moments out in the garden where they were both 25 again, because it was very soft focus out the back, wasn't it? But they just looked stunning. Mm. So it was a visual feast.
And the death count's high. Yeah, it's unusual.
He just keeps on knocking them down.
You just hide those black gloves, for God's sake. But if I was to score it, I'd probably give it 58 out of 100.
If I was, because I don't score it, I tend to think, what would I say to my mates?
Mm.
I would say
it's very short.
It's a holiday book page turner thriller that you can still keep a thread of and look after the kids.
Yeah, but in this incredibly highly populated landscape of film streaming and everything else, it ain't one of those films that's going to cut through for a long time. It's a distraction for a moment.
Netflix.
Yeah.